Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had many questions, didn't they, for the Lord? They sought to trick him, to catch him out. But he only had one question for them. As we read, he asked them this vital question. What think ye of Christ? That was his question to them, not in reference to anything they'd first asked him, of course. He wanted to find out what they thought of him, really, but of course he knew. He perceived, as we read, what was in their hearts and minds. He knew. But of course he asked this question publicly. They were gathered around him. He asked them, what think ye of Christ? He would have their answer, you see, known. He knew. But this question, what think ye of Christ, is one that someone who knows the true and correct and right answer will not answer only privately, but publicly. It is that vital, inescapable question that all men should ask themselves. And I believe it's the question that we as believers ought to ask all men, privately and publicly. For many men have many opinions of this Christ. And we do not know their hearts, as the Lord knows the hearts of those who questioned him. If we are to discover the answer that a man would give, we must ask the question and be prepared to hear many opinions in response. Our personal eternity rests upon the answer to that question, and the eternity of all men. All those we know, all those we meet, and all those we interact with day by day, everyone that we speak to has an opinion, even if that be no opinion at all. What think ye of Christ? I wonder how often I've asked that question in my life, privately and publicly. I couldn't count them, not because there are so many, because I wonder if I really asked it at all in this manner. Asking it specifically to discover the heart and the mind of the one who is questioned. It's a very direct thing to say, isn't it? What think ye of Christ? It'd be a very bold thing just to come out with, wouldn't it, in conversation? Or even to open a conversation with. But you know, I did read of an old Pentecostal man who used to, as he greeted someone and he shook their hand, and rather than say, you know, what is your name, the first thing he would say was, are you saved? That's bold, isn't it? Not all of us have that boldness. Not all of us have that gift whereby we may with our voices just approach a stranger, an individual, and ask something as bold as that. Or even, what think ye of Christ? But it's not simply strangers, is it? They're not necessarily the hardest ones to speak to on this matter. Family is very hard, isn't it? I have many unbelievers in my family. They profess no faith in Christ. And I wonder if I've asked them, what think ye of Christ? And if I've had the opportunity to do so and I've not taken it, may the Lord forgive me for not seeking to discover the answer to that question in their own heart. Well, as I considered this further, I wondered what the answer would be from many of my family and friends. And then I was brought to consider, well, what would I hope the answer would be? Is there an answer that they could give that would cause me to rejoice? Yes, of course. I would have them know this Jesus for who he is. And I would have them repeat to me what Christ said about himself. It would be my joy beyond measure to hear a family member, a friend, someone I love dearly, say to me when I ask them, what think ye of Christ? For them to reply, well, I believe he is the way. I believe he is the truth. I believe he is the life. And I believe that no man can come to God but by him. That's why I wanted to read those two passages to you this morning. You see, because on one hand we have a question from the Lord, and on the other hand we have a statement from the Lord about who he is. And I believe that this is a wonderful template for evangelism, for personal witness. I do believe that we can learn much from looking at these points. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, these statements that the Lord made about himself. If we are to discuss with people their opinion of the Lord. As I've said, it's not the only way of witness, being so direct in our questioning. Our actions speak louder than our words at times, don't they? It's not always the direct question, no, and it's not the only question. Praise the Lord, he leads our conversation, doesn't he? He leads our discussions with friends. We're guided by the Holy Ghost, and often he leads us to ask other questions as we witness. But may we look at this question, what think ye of Christ, this morning? And I pray that together the Lord would teach us much through a consideration of that question and Christ's own answer to his identity, his being, his person. In that he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. May it be then, if we are prepared and given the opportunity by the Lord to ask this question, what think ye of Christ, to someone we know, or even a stranger, that we would seek to tell them the truth we know by the grace of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Because this is the vital question. Make no mistake about it. The answer to the question, what think ye of Christ, reveals the heart. And if it's answered truthfully, it reveals something of the eternal state of a soul. What think ye of Christ? And as we consider these things together, I would ask you, each and every one, to ask yourself the question, what think I of Christ? That as we look at these three points together, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, that we may find that we are all in that unity of understanding and knowledge, which means that we might boldly say, I am in Christ, the only way to God, the very truth of God, and the only way into eternal life with God. May it encourage you and strengthen you in your faith, build you up, and give you a way, a route in to more direct conversation with those you know and love, the lost, who need to hear the gospel of Christ. Let us then look at this first statement of Christ in John 14 and verse 6. What think ye of Christ? Well, he says, I am the way. Is he the way? What think ye of Christ? I am the way, he says. No man, no woman, no young person can come to God the Father but by this Jesus. He says, I am the way. Now notice this with me. He did not say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. The one way. The only way. Now if this is true, if Jesus is telling the truth, now, he cannot lie. Those of us who believe know this to be true. He is God the Son. And we know that from Titus, God cannot lie. Those of us of the faith know that he is telling the truth. He says, I am the way and the only way. Friend, if this is true, and I believe it to be so, then all other routes to God must be false. Now the man in the street will tell you, and as he's told me many times, well, all roads lead to God. No. There is only one way. There is only one way. And that way is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. What think ye of Christ? We read, didn't we, in John chapter 14. In verse 4, Jesus says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know, he said. And it was Thomas who said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. How can a man know that he is the way? Is it by the intellect? Is it by reason? Or is it by grace? How can a man know the way? By the grace of God. I am the way, said Jesus. I am the only way. Do you believe this morning? What think ye of Christ? Do you think that you can get to God in any other way? Do you think there's another route to God? Do you think if you live a good and holy and clever and lovely and pleasant and good life, that when you get to stand before God at the judgment, God says, yes, well done, come into my presence eternally. Do you think your good works will ever get you there? Do you think your goodness, your kindness, will get you into the courts of God eternally? Do you think your understanding will get you into the presence of God eternally? Your knowledge of the biblical things? I remember being asked to write an essay in the seminary where I studied. They wanted me to write an essay on the faith that saves. And I was asked to present that essay before the student body. And I was told that what I'd written was very accurate. But there was one thing I'd forgotten to say. It is Christ that saves. By faith. We are saved, but by him. I am the way, he said. What think ye of Christ? Secondly, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he is the truth? Now, as I've said, we know that God cannot lie. The scriptures tell us so. And we who are of the faith, we believe that the word of God is true. And that Christ was without sin, that he did not err, that he told never a lie, that he only spoke the truth. But he says here, I am the truth. I am the truth. Not simply that I speak the truth, but I am the truth, he said. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and have given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, some of you may have been quite surprised when I said, did you think that your understanding would help you enter the courts of God eternally? Well, dear friends, there is such a thing as understanding much about this book. The scriptures tell us, do they not, that there are those that study it well, and they know it very well indeed, but they never come into a knowledge of the truth. We have been given an understanding, yes, but that understanding has led us to a knowledge. And that is the knowledge of Christ, to know Him. To know Him, not simply about Him, but to know Him, the person of Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who left the glories of heaven to come to the earth to seek and to save that which was lost, as we shared last week. He who entered into that covenant of grace with the Father, that He would come to the earth, to live a perfect life, to die a death for sinners, to shed His precious blood upon the tree of Calvary. That work of salvation and redemption would be completed in Him, by Him, in His life and death. And when He cried out, "It is finished," on the cross, dear friend, it was truly finished. That work was done. And now those of us that have been given by God's grace this knowledge of Christ, of His person, of who He is, and all that He has done, those of us who have this knowledge, been gifted by grace, this faith in this person, we are those who are in this state of grace, as we said last week, beneficiaries of this grace, even eternally. We have been brought to know. To know, not on a human level, not on a temporal level, not in an earthly way. Dear friends, we have been brought to know in a vital and spiritual way whom this Christ is. And we know that He is the truth. That He is the truth. You know, this world is just full of lies, is it not? You know, even this week we've had politicians who've got themselves into awful messes by being a little bit short with the truth, haven't we? And what of us ourselves, dear friends? We do our best to be truthful, don't we? But no one of us dare say that we have never told a lie. But there's more here. For it's not simply about Christ not telling a lie. It is about Him being the truth. He said, "I am the way and the truth." And how can we therefore understand this? Well, friends, if it's true, and it's true, if He is the truth, if He is the truth, and as He says, the only way to the Father, then it must hold true that all other faiths and religions are false. The man in the street may say to you, "Well, all religions worship the same God, don't they?" You've heard that said, perhaps. No, they don't. I worship the true and the living God. And I approach Him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other faith may, or no other religion may claim this. Listen carefully again to what I say. I know the true and living God. And I know that I'm a sinner who could not approach Him unless I went through the mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming His blood and His righteousness for myself by faith. He said, I am the way. I must go through him. He said, I am the truth. Therefore, I must declare him to be true and the only truth. He did not say, I am a truth, but the truth. Friend, what think ye of Christ? Your eternity depends upon the answer to this question. I urge you again, ask yourself, what think ye of Christ? Is he the way? Your only route to God? Is he the truth? The truth. The only truth. Do you think that this Christian faith is the one true faith? Do you believe that this Christ is the truth? What think ye of Christ? Thirdly, he says, I am the life. I am the life. You know, the Bible tells me that sinners are dead in trespasses and sin. Dead. Dead. What can a dead thing do for itself? Nothing. Praise God, therefore, that God is in the business of raising the dead to life. There may be someone here this morning who is lost in their sins, dead in their trespasses, and they can do nothing about their state because they are dead spiritually. The dead cannot hear. Maybe there's someone here this morning who's deaf to these things, and yet you're starting to hear something you've not heard before. You know, the dead are blind. They can't see. Could it be that someone here this morning is starting to see things they've never seen before? Could it be that someone here this morning is starting to see that Christ is their only way to God? Could it be that someone here is starting to see for the very first time that they are a sinner in need of a Saviour, and they are starting to see in this Jesus Christ their only hope? Is there someone here this morning who through deaf ears is starting to hear truth they've never heard before about this Jesus? Could it be that someone here this morning, without them even knowing it has happened, has begun to receive a vital life they have never possessed before? A regeneration of a spirit. An awakening within the dead soul that gives them an opportunity by the grace of God to hear and to see the glorious gospel of grace. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the life, he said. Please turn just over the page to John 17, verse 3. In fact, let's read verses 1 to 3. They go together. We must read them. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There may be someone here this morning who's had a great amount of understanding in their head. They know the stories, they even know their Bibles very well. They've heard it all, maybe from their youth. They've understood, but they've never known. They've never known the God, the living God, the true God, He who sent His only begotten Son into the world to live and to die for sinners. They've never known this God of love, and they've never known that this Son, whom He sent. And yet today could be the very day, by the grace of God, that Christ gives this eternal life to a dead soul, that it is raised into a newness of life, as we sung even in the hymn, translated from darkness into light, that this would be the day of salvation for someone, whereby they see and they hear and they know that He is the way, He is the truth, and in Him they now have life where there was once spiritual death. I am the life, He said, not a life. He said the life. And if He is true, and we believe Him to be true, if He is the life, then all other remedies must be false. As I've said, one that is dead cannot raise itself into a newness of life. It must be raised. And Christ says, I will raise those up into a newness of life. He says, Thou hast given me power over all flesh, He says to the Father, that I would give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. Could it be that amongst us this morning is one who has been gifted to Christ by the Father? You're a gift from God to His Son, and you're yet to know it, that you are that. But you're starting to understand, you're starting to know, you're starting to see, you're starting to hear new things, wondrous things. Is there someone here who, when they walk through the door this morning, had one opinion of this Christ, and when they leave they will have an entirely different one? Could it be that I could have stood at that door and asked someone here this morning, what think ye of Christ, and got one answer, and asked them again as they left this chapel and got a completely different one? Well, I know it can happen, because it's happened to me. I was a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, deaf to the truth, blind to Christ, blind to my own sin. I could do nothing for myself, dead in trespasses and sins, until that glorious day, when seated in a church, a Salvation Army hall in Grays, Thurrock, the Lord opened my eyes to myself, and I saw myself a sinner, and it broke me. And He opened up my ears, and I heard the truth of the glorious gospel of grace and of Christ. And although I'd heard the stories all my life in Sunday school and understood a lot about it, I did not know that I was a sinner. And I did not know that Christ was my only hope till that very day when He raised me from death to life. That was a glorious day for me. You see, if someone had said to me at the door of that Salvation Army hall, what think ye of Christ, when I went in, I couldn't have given them the same answer as I left. Because as I came in, I may have said, well, He was the Son of God. Good teacher, nice fellow, helped a lot of people. But when I left, I would have told them this. What think I of Christ? I believe He's the way. He's the only way to God. He's my only hope, the only way out of my desperate situation. I'm a sinner and I need a Saviour, and it's this Jesus, and I know that He is the truth. I can trust Him. Everything that He has said is true about Himself and about God. I know He came, and I know He lived, and I know He died, and I believe it was for me. And I believe that because I now have faith in Him, I have life eternal. He's the life. And I want to go outside now, I would have said, because I did go and do it in my enthusiasm, in my early days of being saved. I wanted to go out and I wanted to tell as many people as I could that no man could come to God but by my Jesus. What think ye of Christ?
Father, forgive me that I ever stopped asking the question. Forgive me that I ever lost that zeal I once had. Dear friends, really, that's a lesson for us believers here this morning to learn. It's a reason for us to pray again and again unto the Lord that we would have blessed unto us a zeal and an enthusiasm for this truth, this way, this life, that we would not be able to contain within ourselves the wondrous gospel of grace, that we would have to tell others about it, that we would have to tell others about this Jesus. Oh, I just mourn, as I remember, even now as I'm standing here, my enthusiasm as a young man. You know, I used to be in the Salvation Army as a soldier in my youth, and I would go around the pubs and the clubs in very rough areas, selling the war cry and, you know, getting donations and witnessing and testifying, and I was beaten up every night. They used to kick me and they used to tear the clothes from my back and they would stamp on them, and I'd have my hat tossed around pubs and dance clubs, and I'd come home with boot marks on my back, but they couldn't kick the enthusiasm out of me. They couldn't kick the joy out of me. And it was a horrible moment when I realized that I'd lost a lot of that. And I'd lost a lot of that urgency to go out into the world and tell a dead, dying world about the life that is Christ. It was a terrible moment when I realized I'd lost that zeal to go out into a world so full of lies to tell them the truth that is Christ. And Lord, I'm so sorry that I ever lost that enthusiasm to go out into a world that is lost and wandering around, bumping into itself. Really, I should have been out there going and telling them all about Christ, who is the way. Dear friends, would you join me? Perhaps you know that it's true of yourselves this morning, that you've lost that enthusiasm, that zeal, that urgency to speak of this Jesus you know and love. I continue to pray for myself, and I pray that you'll pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that the Lord would bring about in us a renewed enthusiasm and zeal and urgency, that we would not be able to contain within ourselves the joy and the knowledge that we have of this Jesus, that we would find ourselves day by day expressing the love of Christ by our words and our deeds, telling others of He that is the way, the truth, the life. And with all confidence and certainty that we have the truth that no man can come to God but by our Jesus. But as I close, let me just return to this question. What think ye of Christ? Today is the day of salvation. The Lord knows your heart, as He knew the Pharisees and the Sadducees' heart. I don't know your heart. But if I ask you the question, what think ye of Christ? I may be given a window into your heart where I may see something of the eternal state of your soul, if you would answer me truthfully. But I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer God. For truly today, God is speaking and asking you the question, what do you think of my Son? Dear friend, if you've been brought to realize by the grace of God that He's the way, if you've been brought this morning to realize that He is the truth, if God has risen you from death into a newness of life in Christ, that you know that you now have life in Him, and dear friend, I urge you, tell someone. Tell someone you know and trust and love. Tell them that you're not sure you have the answer anymore to this question, what think ye of Christ, that you need to answer it in a different way, that God has spoken to you this morning in a new and vital way that He's never spoken to you before. Tell someone. Ask to pray with someone. Even me, if you wish. But if you know that you're a sinner in need of a Saviour,
And if you're convinced by the grace of God this morning that this Saviour's name is Jesus, then I read to you Romans 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what he has done for me and for countless others throughout the centuries, dear friend, he could do for you. He could change your answer to that most vital question. What think ye of Christ? From a vague and uncertain response to a bold and confident statement of faith, I believe he is the way. I believe he is the truth. I believe he is the life. And I must come to God through him by faith. For no man cometh to the Father but by him, my Lord, my Jesus. Amen.